Well, people of the Most High God, great to have you with us in our radio congregation today. And the message that you are listening to today is a message I preached just this past Sunday at our fellowship here in Jacksonville. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you ears to hear, a heart to believe, and be blessed as you listen. Here's the message. It's entitled, The Spirit of Life.
Go ahead and open your Bibles, if you would please, to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start the message out by reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word creature means creation. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Christ is your Savior. Everything in your life is changing since you come to Christ. It's a process. Salvation is an event. Sanctification is a process. And each and every one of us are at a different level in our sanctification. Every last one of us are at a different level. And that's kind of the theme of where I want to go this morning in Romans chapter 8. Now, the Word of God tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That word new in the Greek implies a new nature. A new nature. Quite different from anything previously existing in that individual. So, regardless of where you are in your walk with the Lord, regardless of the level of attainment in your life as a believer, as one who's been born again, you are a child of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. With your last heartbeat, you'll go to glory.
Amen.
But between here and there, there's a lot to be handled. There's a lot to be faced. And some of you have already faced it this morning. Sometimes Sunday becomes that day in which the enemy attacks most viciously and trying to disrupt what God would do in their life for that day. In an unguarded moment, if you're not careful, you will say things, do things, react, respond in a way that is not necessarily Christ-like. And that can happen from time to time if you're not careful. And ungodliness can manifest itself in the life of a believer in a response, in a reaction, in an attitude. Ungodliness can manifest in the life of a believer. Our response to life's unguarded moments speaks volumes. You're going to have moments where you're going to get blindsided. Satan's going to hit you with a situation, a circumstance. It could be a comment from someone else. It could be someone else's attitude, someone else's action. But you're going to get blindsided. You may come up off your knees in the morning, go out to face a sin cursed, sin darker world, say, I'm dressed in the whole armor of God. I've submitted myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be salt. I'm going to be light. And then Satan says, well, we'll see about that. Because no move towards God goes unnoticed and unchallenged by the enemy, as I've told you how many times. So as we come through this morning, remember this, in it all and through it all, you're still a child of God.
Amen.
In it all and through it all, you are still a child of God. So we begin with Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, you have to make your decision day by day. Am I going to walk in the flesh? Am I going to walk in the spirit? You see, you can get out of bed with an attitude.
Hello.
You can get out of bed already programming and thinking about how you're going to respond or react to something that happened yesterday or last week. So you can come out of the bed in the morning already churning on the inside and plotting and planning how you're going to address that situation. The evidence that you are in Christ is that you have crucified the flesh. If you're in Christ, you have crucified the flesh. And let me make this very clear to you. Crucifixion, listen to me carefully. Crucifixion was a slow, painful process. And you're kidding yourself if you don't think that you're dying to self is going to be a slow, painful process. And many times we find out that we're not nearly as dead to ourselves as we thought we were dead to ourselves.
Amen.
Someone will say something, something will happen, and all of a sudden we find out that we're not quite as dead as we thought we were, because if we were as dead as we thought we were, we could not respond the way we responded. I have found out over the years that one of the best things I can do when I'm on the verge of responding or reacting is shut up, sit down, do nothing. Walk away from the situation mentally, emotionally, if need be physically. Because if I do not guard my heart, guard my thoughts, guard my tongue, once you've said it, you can't take it back. You can apologize for having said it. You can apologize to God for having thought it. You can apologize to that other person for having said what you said, but it's there. And it will be there to the day they die. I remember a couple of comments from my dad growing up that are still there. They hurt. They hurt. I think parents sometimes don't realize that my words carry weight. And I dare say that every parent in here has at one time or another responded to their children or to their child in a way that they wish they had not responded, that they had not said what they said. And I have no doubt we have parents in here who have done that same thing. Victims reproduce victims. And that's one of the things we must bear in mind. So understanding this, the big I in your life will keep surfacing. See, you see, well, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead to self, I'm dead to sin, but the big I wants to keep resurfacing. Wants his pound of flesh, wants to express himself, wants to respond, wants to react to whatever's being said, whatever's being done, whatever's coming against him. And it's hard. It's hard to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm dead to self, I'm dead to that, I'm not going to react, I'm not going to respond. We come to verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. As a believer, I cannot allow sin to control my life. I cannot allow the unclean spirits to activate themselves in me and through me. So I just simply cannot allow sin to control my life. Now, what I'm saying about me is true of you.
Amen.
You as a believer priest, one of two powers is going to be in control every moment of every day of your life, either the Holy Spirit of God or an unholy spirit. That doesn't mean you've lost your salvation, because you can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
You can offend God, you can grieve the Spirit of God, you can quench the Spirit of God, but you cannot lose your salvation. Once you're born again, you're born again. You cannot be unborn. Once you're adopted into the family of God, you're adopted into the family of God. So that's not even the question here. The question here is, am I going to manifest as a child of God? Am I going to manifest as a believer priest? Am I going to manifest as a soldier of the cross? Or am I going to manifest as a child of the devil? Verse 3. And incidentally, You can manifest as a child of the devil in an instant. And it may only last an instant. It may only last a few seconds. But you can be more like Satan than you are Christ in a heartbeat.
Amen.
It depends on how you respond or how you react. But you understand this. You are responding and reacting to life many times due to how whatever has happened impacted you and the wounds and bruises in your spirit, because everybody sitting in here has been wounded in the spirit. Everybody in here has wounds and bruises in the spirit. Until you are willing to recognize that, acknowledge that, and take that before the throne of God, if you're not careful, you will go through life responding and reacting to those things that touch that wounding or that bruise in your spirit. You are a work in progress. You're not a work finished. You're a work in progress. Verse 3, Romans 8. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. I don't like the way the King James Version reads that. Gets complicated. You just sit down with that verse, analyze that verse, evaluate that verse, and sit down with pen and paper and write down what it says to you. I like another translation better. I like the New Living Translation much better. Here's the way it reads. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So, God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. That makes it more clear to me. Simply stated, God the Father subdued and overcame sin in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He overcame sin in Jesus Christ. You see, the law revealed God's standards, but the law could not enable you. The law could not empower you. The law could not enable or empower. The law could only show you what God's standard was, but it could not enable you and empower you to live up to that standard, to meet that standard. That's why Christ Jesus did for us what none other could do. He took upon himself all the sins of each of us that we have ever committed. Not only that, he reached beyond us and pulled to himself all the sins that we would ever commit. And he pulled those to himself, and he put those sins to death in himself. Sin has to die. I've preached that for years because I think that the average believer doesn't understand the reality of how God deals with sin. All sin has to die. And on that cross, all sin of everyone who would ever believe and receive him was put to death in Jesus Christ. So, we are new creations. Our sin has been put to death in Christ Jesus. The sins of the past has been put to death in Christ Jesus. The sin I'm going to sin tomorrow has already been put to death in Christ Jesus. I just need to acknowledge that sin, admit that that sin is there, and confess that sin. So, we come to verse 4. Why did he do this? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now the question is, am I walking after the flesh or after the Spirit? What is my normative reaction to life? Is it a reaction in the flesh or is it a reaction in the Spirit? This is something each of us have to answer. Self-evaluation. We've got to constantly evaluate ourselves. Did I respond to that situation in a Christ-like manner? Did I react in a Christ-like manner? Would Christ have been pleased with the way I reacted, responded? I represent him. Verse 5 of Romans chapter 8. For those who live according to the flesh. Now, slow down. The word flesh can, depending on its context of where it's used in the scripture, the word flesh can speak to an unsaved person. It can also speak to a saved person. you can get in the flesh.
Amen.
Meaning, you can act like an unsaved person.
Hello.
You can respond, you can react like an unsaved person. You can put your Christianity up for question by the way you react, respond to a situation or a circumstance. Once again now, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now you've got to ask yourself, day by day, am I more concerned with what's going on in my mind? Am I evaluating my thought life? Am I consciously evaluating my responses and my reactions to life? Am I constantly reviewing my thought life? How much of my thought life is unchristlike? How much of my thought life is prejudicial? How much of my thought life is unchristlike? These are things that each of us, it's a battle. It's warfare. You're in a battle. But day by day, moment by moment, God is in the process of conforming us to the Lord Jesus Christ, getting us more like Him. In order to do that, more of us have got to die. And you'd be surprised how the old man can resurrect himself in a heartbeat.
Amen.
You give him the right stimuli, and the old man can resurrect himself very, very quickly. Once again in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That becomes the centrality of their life. What pleases me, what I want to do, how I want to respond, how I want to react. This is me. This is my life. I can respond. I can react any way I want. No, you can't. Not if you're going to represent Christ. Got to die to self. Got to get up every morning of the world and take your rightful place of death to self. I do not have to react. I do not have to respond. Now, that means this. The moment you start saying to the Holy Spirit of God, I want to be enabled and empowered today, I do not want to react, I do not want to respond in any way that will bring any discredit on the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want to grieve you, Holy Spirit, I don't want to quench you in any way. The moment you do that, understand this, He's going to intensify His efforts. He's going to intensify His efforts. He is determined one way or the other. Satan never takes a nap. Satan never takes a nap, never takes a vacation, never takes a day off. Always at work, trying some way to cause you to falter and fail in your walk with the Lord. Verse 5 again. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What you've got to ask yourself is, where is the predominance of my thought life? Am I consistently processing my actions, my attitudes, what I intend to say, what I intend to do? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you have in your mind lived out a situation you were going to respond to, you were going to react to, and you were going to get your pound of flesh? Husbands and wives do it. Employees do it. We do it sometimes just in the general warp and woof of life, that something or someone in some way brushed across us, offended us in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And so we're already plotting and scheming and planning, if we're not careful, how can I respond to that? How can I react to that? How can I get an ounce of flesh out of that? The Word of God says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded. What is it, carnally minded? For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Folks, I didn't write this. I'm just trying to help you understand, because Romans chapter 8, when you get to Romans 6, 7, and 8, you're getting to three of the strongest books in the Word of God. And I think it's interesting that Romans is placed right after the Gospels. And when you really get in, even beginning with chapter 1 of Romans, but especially when you come on through this, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, carries more and more meaning. And you would do well to sit down in the evening or whenever you spend time in the Word of God and start looking very, very carefully at Romans in every chapter in it, but especially 6, 7, and 8. There's a lot of controversy over chapter 7. And I haven't gone there yet, but I'm going to take you there, but I want to get this done first. For to be carnally minded. What does that mean, carnally minded? Worldly minded. To be worldly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now the question is, how much of my thinking and how much of my responses and how much of my reactions is more worldly than it is Christ-like? Now Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, said this. Now remember, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to people in the church, to Christians in the church. For you are still carnal. You are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So we find carnality in the church. Let me brush across your pride for a moment. Turn to somebody now and say, I can be carnal. You don't like to say that, but understand carnality. Carnality is not Christ-like. Have you ever acted in an un-Christ-like way?
Yes.
Have you ever responded to life in an un-Christ-like? See, once we start getting here, you got a lot of believers saying, wait a minute, hold on, you don't understand, Bob. I'm born again. I'm indwelt by the Spirit. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And how dare you say that I could react or respond to Satan? Well, you can.
Hello. Amen.
And you do.
Yes, sir.
And you're a liar if you say you don't.
Amen.
You have to understand the reality of the warfare. You have to understand there's not an hour of the day that Satan is not trying in some way to get you to entertain ungodly, unholy thoughts, attitudes, actions, and reactions.
Amen.
We call it getting in the flesh. That sounds better than sinning. It sounds better to say, well, I got in the flesh, than to say, well, I sinned. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to go to God and say, well, Lord, I want to confess I got in the flesh. Or go to God and say, Lord, I want to confess I sinned. I sinned in that attitude, I sinned in that response, I sinned in that reaction. That thought life, that thought I just entertained was unchristlike. It was opposed to you. And why do you think the Word says take every thought captive? I didn't write it, I'm just teaching it. You say, wait a minute, you can't take every thought captive. No, you can't, but He can.
Amen.
He can enable you and empower you. And the key is this, the moment I have a thought that I recognize is unchristlike, is contrary to the Word of God, the character of Christ, I confess it as sin. An attitude, whatever it may be.
Yes,
now, I realize we're coming through some fairly deep water this morning. But this applies to every single individual in this room. Every last one, starting with me. Starting with me. 1 Corinthians 3, 4, once again. For when one says, I am of Paul, now let's go back up to 1 Corinthians 3, 3. For you are still carnal. Now, he's talking to Christians. Suppose I walked in here this morning and said to you, you are still carnal. Would you take exception to that? Or would you say, well, you're probably right. There are moments in my life that I am carnal. There's no getting away from it. There moments in my life when I act more like one who is unsaved than one who is saved. My attitudes, my reaction. You let me ride in your car for an hour with you, and I'll tell you, will not, there's any carnality in your life. Oh, boy. Oh, my. You idiot! The light's green. Move, idiot! You did what? You said what? I can't believe you did that. Well, you do the same thing and more.
Amen.
You do the same thing and worse. No, you see, we're so quick to forget that we are to be Christ-like and we are to evince Christ in every expression of our life. Now, see, I'm sitting here watching your faces. And once in a while as I do that, I'll see two or three faces say, well, I know you mean well, but what you're saying doesn't really apply to me. I am so godly, I'm so holy, and I've been through the process of sanctification so long that I'm so far much further up the road than you are, Martin. Those things may bother you, but they don't bother me. I mean, I am holy. Yes, you are holy. Only because God made you holy. Amen. Not because you live all that holy, not because you act all that holy, not because you react and respond all that holy at all times and all situations, but God said you're holy, and you can say anything about yourself that God says about you.
Amen.
Including, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So why don't I just say, Lord, I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Yes,
I'm a child of God, born again, and dwelt by the Spirit of God, but I still sin. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:4. Now, remember, in 1 Corinthians 3:3, he is addressing those who profess faith in Christ Jesus. Once again, for you are still carnal. What? I'm born again. I'm a church member. I'm singing in the choir. I'm teaching in the Sunday school. I'm da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He says, you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? No, boy, oh boy. You don't suppose, being proud of the fact that you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian, is that carnality? Baptists didn't die for me. Presbyterians didn't die for me. Methodists didn't die for me. Now, I understand. Now, you understand we got 65 different expressions of Baptist? We have 65 different expressions of just Baptist. Now, you take that over to the Methodists, the Presbyterians, all of a sudden what you have is a fractured, fragmented body of Christ. And we wonder why we're lacking prayer power. We wonder why our nation is where it is. No, years ago when the Lord said to me, and I got on my knees at Epworth by the Sea, and I've told you this before, because I disagreed with a couple of positions that the Home Missions Board was taking among Southern Baptists. And I got on my knees. I saw it in the newspaper. I went and got on my knees to the Lord. And he said to me, will you leave them? And I stopped. I said, well, if you told me to, I would. And about 3 weeks later, he told me I had to leave them. Now stop and think about what I'm saying. The blood of Christ is what cleanses us. Not our denominational preference. Not our denominational identification. When the Lord told me I had to go non-denominational, identified only with Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. That is who I identify with.
Amen.
I think the Southern Baptists just folded their tent in this last convention they had. I think they folded their tent. To me, the word is, oh boy, here we go. The word is very, very, very clear that the leadership in the church is male.
Amen.
Masculine leadership in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and several others. They didn't make a stand. They decided to embrace whatever was coming down the pike and let anybody, in other words, what they did was they didn't draw a line in the sand. They didn't stand on the Word of God. And I understand. I understand with political correctness. I understand political correctness. I understand why political correctness is practiced. I understand that. But it's wrong.
Amen.
The Word of God carries the day. You stay with the Word of God, you obey the Word of God, you do what the Word of God says, or you're wrong. Coming back to 1 Corinthians 3:4. For when one says, I am a Paul, and another says, well, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Now, folks, I didn't write this. But stop and think about what we're saying. When one says, well, I'm Baptist, and another says, well, I'm Presbyterian, and another says, well, I'm Methodist, are you not carnal? Are you not putting in a sense, that which you say you belong to above the one who purchased you? That's what he's pointing out here. When one says, I'm a Paul, I agree with Paul's teaching. I agree with their teaching. I agree with that teaching. I agree with that teaching. Are you not carnal? I didn't write it. When one says I'm a Paul, another says I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? Does that mean that a carnal-minded person has never been saved? Listen to me carefully. When you say something like that, when you take that position, does that mean that a carnal-minded person has never been saved? Or does that mean that some Christians think and live as though they have not been saved? Does it? Do we have those in the body of Christ who profess Christ? Do we have those in the organization known as the body of Christ, the church, who profess Christ, who in fact are not one of Christ? I dare say if the rapture were to occur in the next 5 minutes, you'd have a lot of churches filled, even when the saints left. Understand the process of sanctification. Now we start getting into some deeper meat here, so hang with me. At each stage of the Christian development, you are in a process of sanctification. And you will be in a process of sanctification until the day you go to glory. You will be in the process of sanctification. God is in the process of burning this out of you and this out of you and that out of you. But please hear my heart now. I've lived this. I know what I'm talking about. You did not realize when you came into the kingdom of God and the family of God how much of unchristlike you were. Amen. You thought, I'm a pretty decent person. You know, I pay my taxes and I pay my bills and I do this and I do that. I think I'm okay. Generally speaking, I'm okay. What you failed to see was that you're a sinner, a child of the devil, until you're born again. But when you, and I've mentioned this the last three or four Sundays now, but I'm going to keep harping at it until I make sure you get it. You come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light as an immature spiritual infant. And my position is that too much of the body of Christ is still comprised of those who are in the early stages of Christianity. They're at maybe the 3, 4, 5 year old kind of stage. They have not reached any level of spiritual maturity. I've been around it too long. And you have to understand this day by day. Your Christ-likeness is going to be tested. Satan is going to give you a chance to find out just how Christ-like you are. Romans 8:7. Because, now watch this. Now you got to follow me carefully here. In Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Now, let me make this very, very clear before I make my following statements. Number one, this verse, Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, speaks to those who are unsaved. Clear and simple. Romans 8 speaks to those who are unsaved. But understand this. What we call carnality sometimes is spiritual immaturity. Now I'm fine-tuning something here. What we oftentimes call carnality may be spiritual ignorance or immaturity. I keep stressing this because I want you to take this into your private time with the Lord. Each of us came into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. And there's so much growing to be done. It's a lifelong process. And you can find out how spiritually mature you are if you take the time to really, truly evaluate your thought life, your reactions to life, your reactions to other people, your responses to life, your responses to other people. You can get a fair idea of where you are in your spiritual growth and in your spiritual maturity as you evaluate, recognize and evaluate your responses to life and to the things that happen in life. Your own responses, your thought life, all of that has to be evaluated. We call it carnality. I think sometimes the church makes a mistake. Now, once again, remember this. Verse 7 of Romans 8 speaks for the unsaved. But I'm convinced of this. I've been around this a long time. Sometimes what we think of as being unsaved is somebody that's in spiritual bondage. We might shoot from the hip and call them unsaved, when the truth of the matter is they are in spiritual bondage, and they will not cry out and say, look, I'm in spiritual bondage. I need some help. We've got preachers going to the pulpit week after week after week after week and treating everybody in there as they're, you're okay and I'm okay and we're all okay and we're all going to die and go to heaven. No. Every Sunday of the world, in most churches, the preacher goes to the pulpit and he has any number of people sitting in there who are in bondage. Amen. But they're not going to come up to him and say, Pastor, I'm in bondage. What's the pastor going to say? What kind of bondage? What kind of bondage are you talking about? Because, you see, then it starts getting real personal and real intimate. Well, I have this mindset, and I have this mindset, and I have this mindset, and I have this practice in my life, and I have this habit in my life, and I have this reaction and this response in my life, and it is totally unchristlike, and I can't break out of it. I'm in bondage. Folks, I've dealt with, I had a woman in her 70s come to me. She said, tell me, is masturbation sinful? I said, depends, I suppose. What are you thinking about while you're doing it? She said, well, I'm thinking about my dead husband. She said, my husband's dead. She said, but I'm in my 70s. She said, but I miss him. And she said, I masturbate. And when I masturbate, I think about him. And I said to her, well, if you can keep your mind straight, you can keep your thought life straight, I don't see anything wrong with what you're doing. I can't condemn you for doing what you're doing in response to what you're thinking about your husband. I can't do that. Folks, this is reality. See, in every church in the nation today, there are people who walked in those doors in bondage. And they sit down and they listen in bondage. And they get up and they walk out in bondage because, in the first place, they're not going to go to the preacher and say, I'm dealing with this. This is ugly. This is ugly. This is ugly. Well, you don't have to go to the preacher. Go to God. Amen. You don't have to. The preacher can't forgive you. The preacher can pray for you. But see, the average person's thinking, well, why should I tell him that I got this in my life? Well, exactly so. Take it to the Lord. But be honest with God. Be open with God. Just sit down with him and say, Lord, I got to tell you, Heavenly Father, I got to tell you, I've got this practice in my life. I've got this feedback in my life. I've got this circumstance in my life. I'm responding improperly here. I'm responding improperly there. And discuss it with him. Sometimes it's prejudice. Sometimes it's unforgiveness. Sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes it's a wounding and a bruising in the spirit that occurred to you when you were a child and you've never come beyond it. And you never will until you face it. And take it to the Lord. You don't have to discuss it with anybody else. Discuss it with him. Be open and honest and frank. He knows anyway. Amen. He already knows. So bring it to the light. Sometimes, you see, we come through stages of spiritual growth. We start out as infancy. And we have to come through all of that to spiritual maturity. And sometimes that is tough. Your responsibility is to seek spiritual growth. You want to grow. You want to grow spiritually. That's your responsibility. My responsibility. I don't know how many of you listen to Brother Gene on Wednesday evenings. I do. I listen to Brother Gene. And he's bringing out some very, very good material. And you need to avail yourself to anything and everything you can that will help you grow in the Lord, become stronger in the Lord, and become more sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Anything you can get. Ephesians 4:23, the Word of God says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the thought life. The thought life. Oh, my soul. Can you imagine if just one day if your whole thought life was projected on the screen, everybody could see it? You say, no, I don't want to think about that. Romans 8:8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, those who are controlled by the sin nature cannot please God. Now, understand this. Christians can get in the flesh.
Amen.
You can get in the flesh in a heartbeat.
Yes, sir.
And you do. And if you're not very careful, you'll do it tomorrow. You can get in the flesh and your thought life, your reaction to responses are totally unChrist-like. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, that's a big if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he is not his. If you're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, you're not a Christian. And if you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then you are enabled and empowered. The Holy Spirit of God is out to conform you to the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit of God wants you to be conformed to the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit of God will enable you and empower you to increasingly become more Christ-like if you are willing to increasingly become more Christ-like. But in order for you to become increasingly more Christ-like, you've got to increasingly die to self. And that's where we draw the line. We don't really like to die to self. I mean, this is me. It's my attitudes, my actions, my responses. Why can't I respond like I want to and react like I want to? Because you're purchased possession. You belong to Christ Jesus. Yes, you're going to get in the flesh, but you're still a child of God. Romans 8:10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. What is he saying? The old sinful nature is dead, but you still have will. The sin nature is dead, but you have will. And folks, realistically, our walk with Christ is a day by day, it is a moment by moment by moment dying to self. Moment by moment. Dying to self. Analyzing, evaluating, was that attitude Christ-like? Was that response Christ-like? Was that reaction Christ-like? Was that thought Christ-like? We have to evaluate this day by day by day, say moment by moment. And not only is it a moment by moment of dying to self, it is a moment by moment of yielding to the Holy Spirit. Allowing the Holy Spirit to lead God and direct. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. As one who is born again, I'm starting to wrap this up now. As one who is born again, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Okay? That means that you are entitled to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Entitled. You may not claim that entitlement. You may forsake that entitlement. You may ignore that entitlement. But as one born again, you are entitled to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do whatever the Word of God tells you to do. All you got to do is submit and surrender. There's the key. Submit and surrender. I submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I surrender to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I submit and surrender. That is how you gain the victory. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. I owe Satan nothing.
Amen.
I don't owe Satan a thing.
No,
because I don't owe him anything, I'm not going to give him anything.
Amen.
That's the same position you've got to take. You've got to say to Satan, everything out of hell, I'm not indebted to you. I'm indebted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ purchased me. Christ paid my sin debt. I'm adopted into the family of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a believer priest. I am an ambassador for Christ. I owe Satan nothing. Nor do you. Nor shall I give him anything. I don't intend to. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You see, if you live under the lordship of Satan, you're going to experience eternal death in hell. If you live your life under the lordship of Satan, you're going to experience eternal death in hell. However, if you're indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, if you're indwelt and empowered, it's one thing to be indwelt, it's another thing to be empowered. You are indwelt when you're born again. To be empowered, you've got to submit and surrender. And it's a submission moment by moment, day by day, submitting and surrendering to the lordship of Jesus in your life, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those born again, you are as one born again. You are indwelt by the creative power of this universe. Amen. Sin shall not have dominion over you. There is not, listen, demons are broken down into categories and they have different strengths, different offices. We find that from, of course, from Ephesians. But you have to understand this. Those who are indwelt by the Spirit of God are enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you have eternal life. Your name's already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't lose. You can walk in as much victory as you want to walk. Amen. You can walk in as much anointing as you want. All you got to do is submit and surrender. Now, each and every one of us, hear me, I'm closing this out. Now, hear me carefully. Every person in this room has commonality in their conversion experience. We have commonality in the fact that we are born again, indwelt by the Spirit of God, adopted into the family of God, members of the body of Christ, but each and every one of us has a different anointing on our lives. We have commonality in the fact that we're all members of the body of Christ, but each member in the body is gifted a little bit differently than the other members. Now, we share some of the same gifting. We share, for example, this man may have a gift towards music, and this person may have a gift towards music, and someone else over there can have a gift towards music. But those are the commonalities that they experience together in Christ Jesus. But apart from that, each and every one of these individuals are an individual in the body of Christ with different anointings, different giftings, different anointings. It may be just to hear at a certain level. It may be to comprehend at a certain level. It may be to understand at a different level. But the point is this, we're all different. Amen. Now turn to somebody and say right now, you're different. But I love you. We can love each other in our differences, can we not? Well, God designed us. The members of my body are all different as well. Now, enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, regardless of what we encounter in life. Regardless of what we bump across in life, we're still enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Eternity in the kingdom of God. If my heart quits beating, standing right here talking to you and I hit the floor, I'll be going to glory. Amen. I'll be in glory. Amen. I probably wouldn't come back here anyway if I'd given a chance. Once I get to glory. Now, eternity in the new heaven and the new earth is yours. Yeah, you're going to have your aches and pains, and you're going to have disappointments and discouragement in this life, and this is going to go wrong, and that's going to go wrong, and this will go sour, and that'll go sour. But with the last heartbeat, you're in glory. You're part of God's eternal kingdom. Amen. Never to be disappointed or discouraged. You won't even have any more pain. No more back pain. No sickness, no disease. No medicals, no medical protocols, no medical exams, just joy in the Lord, peace, Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Bill, close us out with prayer.
Well, Hearts, once again, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And again today, I want to close the broadcast out with another report from Captain Bob Mueller, United States Coast Guard retired, who is a friend of Challenge, supports Challenge, and of course went to the Philippines again to give us another report. So today I'm bringing you another one of his reports on his most recent trip to the Philippines. Why don't you put on your listening ears and be blessed as you listen to this report from Bob Mueller, Captain, United States Coast Guard retired, as he tells you what he witnessed, saw, and experienced on this trip to the Philippines. Bob?
Hello, Pastor Bob. It's good to be back. I'd like to talk about Lighthouse Mission in the town of Caman Arriato. This was on day four of my visit. We visited Pastor Villamor Dress. This is his main church. It's not CMI supported now, but it was. His outreaches are CMI supported by Challenge. After a lifetime in ministry, he finally has a new small house, a little cinder block house, that he and his wife are very proud of. Pastor Villamor is in his 70s, but he is a dynamic man. He is going and going and going. They are wonderful people. I remember them well from my last visit. This little chapel is in a side shelter or carport structure on the side of the house. It's been walled in, and this is where church services are held. The walls are painted yellow, and a matching curtain of yellow graces the front of the little church, with the name Jesus in 4-foot-high black capital letters, rather dramatically front and center. Off to the side, there is a large blue quote from Psalm 63, "Thy loving kindness." These people are not shy about putting Bible verses on the walls of their churches, which, frankly, I think is a very good idea. We had a nice lunch with them and with the other CMI pastors who are joining us. Pastor Villamor has three outreaches. At one of them, they're doing Saturday services, and the people ask for Sunday so their husbands could attend because their husbands have to work on Saturday. So to make that work, Pastor Villamore's children are now delivering the word at the main church so Pastor Villamor can do Sunday services at the outreach, along with the other Sunday services he does at the other outreaches. They're also doing a child feeding program at the outreaches, but out of their own pocket of the church, since Pastor Mulville has concentrated his child feeding funds for the poorer churches. This is a wonderful family, all devoted to the Lord. You just talk to these people and you just feel the love of Jesus coming out of them. And Pastor Villamor, say he's in his 70s and he spent his life working for Jesus, much of it working for Challenge. So it was just a blessing to be there. And that's it for the Lighthouse Mission at Caman Arriato.
He's 70 years old.
I think he's 74.
74.
But you look in his eyes and you just see the love of Jesus. And you know, in America, 74 is not that old. In the Philippines, 74 is ancient.
Yes, yes.
These people live a very hard life. Their medical is rudimentary at best. Their diet, on the other hand, is very basic. You know, they don't have any chemicals in their food, which we are plagued with.
Yeah, they're raising their food, aren't they?
If they don't raise it, they don't eat it.
Wow.
But for 74, he's a very dynamic man. He's just going and going. And like I said, they have a little house now. It's got glass windows. They are very proud of it. And it's a nice thing to finish off his years with a little house to live in.
Well, I thank the people for supporting Challenge and allowing us to do this. And it sounds, you know, every report you give me, Bob, it sounds like they're squeezing every penny out of every dollar.
Oh, without a doubt. And a dollar goes a long way in the Philippines. But they are using our money very, very wisely. Using God's money very wisely.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you for this report, and we'll be waiting for the next report, and we'll let the people know when it's going to occur, okay?
Thank you much, Pastor Bob.
Thank you. God bless.
Well, Hearts, thanks so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And in closing the broadcast today, I want to ask you to join me in prayer as we go before the throne of God, asking Him to defeat this amendment to the Florida Constitution, Amendment Number 4, that would pretty well just authorize abortion on demand at any time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father God, I thank you for the privilege of coming before your throne as an intercessor. And I thank you for the privilege, Father God, of addressing this many people at this time with the Word of God. But Lord, I'm asking you now to stir all of our hearts, stir our hearts to prayer, to fervent intercessory prayer for this nation and the kingdom of God in this nation. And Father, we're asking you, in the holy and precious name of Jesus, defeat Amendment Number 4 to the Florida State Constitution, which will just open the door so widely for continuing abortion and abortion on demand. Father God, we're asking you to show yourself strong, to show yourself powerful, and Father, defeat this on the satanic agenda that would affect the state of Florida and eventually affect other states in the nation. So, Lord God, there we are. We bring it to you. We present it to you, and we're asking you to defeat Amendment Number 4 to the Florida Constitution this November, and this we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge, and thanks for continuing in prayer with us about having him defeat Amendment Number 4 to the Florida Constitution. God bless. Until we meet again, be blessed.